Right now, we arrive at that point on a Thursday when we get our view from the north. You can find his work for Comcast Sportsnet. Use the website csnnw.com. Become a follower on Twitter. Use the handle at Aaron J. Fentress. Stories and Facebook on his Facebook page as well. As he revels in the struggles of the Warriors, we welcome in Aaron Fentress. AF, how you doing?
I'm doing well, my friend. How are you?
Awesome. Awesome. So let's go back to Tuesday night. OKC destroys Golden State.
Destroyed.
Their 14th loss of the season. I know you're very aware the 96 Bulls only lost 13 times that year.
Are
we willing now to officially acknowledge, while it's been a great ride, the conversation about the greatest team ever is on hold, at least for now?
Well, some could make the argument that the Bulls had to win one less game because of the five-game series. Some could make the argument, oh, different eras, blah, blah, blah. I don't think there's ever really been discussion. I think most people know the Bulls would smack these Warriors. But watching them get torched like this just really cements it home. I mean, they're not just getting beat. They're getting beat up. And no one beat up the Bulls like that. I mean, they have their bad moments here and there, but nothing like this. So, yeah, it's over.
Yeah, and the thing to remember for people who aren't aware, the Bulls lost three times the entirety of the playoffs that year, while this Golden State team, as great as they've been, as fun as they are to watch, they just lost three times in a series and might be out. So that might be piling on, but has got to be considered.
And two of the Bulls' losses, I still believe that they were cherry. They were up 3-0. Over Seattle in the finals. They're at Seattle. They could close it out. Seattle came out and played really well the next two games. It seemed like the Bulls were just on cruise control. I think the Bulls wanted to win it at home. So I'll give Seattle credit for one win, and I think the Bulls kind of just rolled over in the other one. So, yeah.
By the way, the most begrudging credit ever. After 20 years, you're going to give them credit for one win. I love it.
Just one.
All right, I've got to play a quick soundbite for you. On the Dan Le Batard show on ESPN, he had this comment talking about the Warriors facing the 1-2 punch of Durant and Westbrook versus the 1-2 kind of duets that Michael and the Bulls face. So here it is. And I'll actually add Worthy and Magic to this, but go ahead.
He didn't lose to Karl Malone and Stockton. He didn't lose to Gary Payton and Sean Kemp. Golden State, what they're facing in these two, better than any of them. The two that Golden State is facing right now
Stockton
are better
Malone.
Than any two that Jordan ever beat. Ever.
What do you think about that one?
Well, it's an interesting argument. You know, here's the bottom line. The Bulls had to deal with they had to deal with Shaq and Penny, young Shaq and Penny. They had to deal with a Ewing team, a Barkley team, Malone and Stockton, a Reggie Miller team, and they had to deal with a decent Cavs team that was by no means great, of course. So I can kind of see what he's saying about Westbrook and Durant, but let's not forget here. One, those two have never won a title. That's one. Two weeks ago, none of these people praising these two as this all-time great duo even thought they had a chance in the series, right?
Of course.
So what we're going from, oh, these guys have no chance, Westbrook shoots too much, Durant doesn't have the clutch gene, the it factor, to Jordan never had to face two guys like this. I mean, talk about your flip-flop hypocrisy. And let's, you know, the dumping on Malone and Stockton thing, okay, let's not forget, the all-time leader in assists is?
Yeah, Stock.
And the second all-time leading scorer is?
Yep, Mailman.
Okay. So athletically, clearly, Westbrook would be running all over Stockton and dunking on him at will. But Stockton would be running around getting the ball to his guys so they can score. And Durant's not stopping Malone, and Malone's not stopping Durant. The other thing is, all the teams that Jordan denied championships, Drexler's team, those were all championship-caliber teams that in any other era, would have won titles. It's just that they played with Michael. They played against Michael Jordan, who denied all these people. But sometimes when you look back at him, you say, Malone and Stockton don't have a ring. Drexler doesn't have a ring. Barkley doesn't have a ring. Ewing doesn't have a ring. Well, they don't have rings because of one guy.
Yeah, and
so it's unfair to diminish their accomplishment because of who they played against.
No, I thought that, like you said, the comment was interesting, but that doesn't mean you have to necessarily agree with it. So
yeah, as much as I like Westbrook's talent, the other night he had a great game. But you know what else he had? He shot well, 12 for 27, which was okay. He had 6 turnovers. You know, a lot of these great players we're talking about, they didn't shoot that poorly. They didn't have those types of turnover numbers. Their shooting percentages were higher. Stockton's efficiency was better. So I think it's just a cheap scapegoat to throw out there to give the Warriors an excuse when no one had the Thunder winning this series until now.
One thing, though, there's this talk about can Golden State still win the series? You know, I kind of harken back to Jim Mara's whole playoff rant. They're like, win the series? I don't know if they can win another game because right now the regular season doesn't matter. Doesn't it seem right now for OKC, for whatever reason, that they're just the better team, kind of kicking their rear ends?
I agree with that, but this is such a weird conference finals on both sides. I don't know if you're going to bring this up or not, but the average margin of victory in the 9 games is 20.8. If you take out the only 2 games that finished under 10 in differential, there was 6 each, one in each conference final, then the average margin of victory in the blowout games is 25. And each team has had a blowout of the other team. Although Toronto's one blowout, I think, was like 15 or whatever, but still. So given that, I would not be surprised if Golden State comes out tonight and wins by 15 or 20. That would be par for the course because they've already blown out the Thunder once and they've been blown out by the Thunder twice. Well, now it's Golden State's turn to win. So I kind of fully expect Golden State to win tonight and then the Thunder wrap it up in game 6.
You know, it's kind of strange. In round 1, I had this conversation with a lot of people because there were 3 sweeps, 3 went 5. It was just blowout, blowout, blowout. And we were all like, yeah, well, wait till the conference finals. You're going to get some cutthroat.
I know, exactly.
Don't they owe us these last couple games? At least
don't
a fourth quarter. I'd like to see 2 or 3, important possessions in the fourth quarter. This is ridiculous.
And I haven't looked at it enough or studied enough to figure out why. My hunch is just that teams, once things get tough on the road, they just fall apart. Like they just, we're going to go back home. And then they just let up. There's no excuse for Toronto to win 2 at home and they go get blown out like that on the road. That's not Cleveland. That's also Toronto. It baffles me when you're dealing with allegedly the top 4. Well, I mean, take Toronto's probably not a top 4 team. They probably wouldn't beat, the Spurs, et cetera. But, you're still talking about the 4 teams remaining. The game should be interesting. They shouldn't be trading blowouts. And it makes for a very bad product. And, if I'm the NBA, I remember the days when they were concerned about the East being bad and, San Antonio played Cleveland. That was like the lowest rated series ever back in LeBron's first go at the finals. Now we're in a situation where the games are just unwatchable. Forget who's in them. They're just unwatchable. These are supposed to be the best teams, so they better hope for a good, interesting NBA finals. But right now, this is just
it's brutal.
Dead.
There's no fourth quarters.
I'm checking my local listings to see what's on at 7 o'clock in case this is over by halftime.
Yeah, I was telling these guys I was binge-watching Netflix last night when I was supposed to be watching the fourth quarter.
Exactly.
I want to move to Duck basketball with the word that came down yesterday. Dorsey and Brooks are coming back. Because of the new rules, obviously, it was cool they kind of threw their names out there to get evaluated. But, you look at whether it was the mock drafts or I guess you could do your own eye test. Did you ever really think that either was a legit NBA prospect for this year's draft?
No. I could kind of see them getting maybe selected at some point because they're both talented enough that someone might say, hey, we'll pick them and see how they develop. But I didn't think they were clearly ready. I mean, Brooks needs to improve his shooting. If you're going to be a 3 in the NBA, you've got to be able to shoot the 3 better than he does just at the college 3 level. That's just not good enough. And then Dorsey's just young. Like he's still such a kid. He needs to get bigger and stronger. faster, improve, keep working on his athleticism, which will come with added strength and power, stuff like that. So I think they would have gotten lost if they had made a team. I think it's just better for them to come back and raise their profile. And I think with their return and the improvement you would expect, this looks like a Final Four team. Straight up. And they get NFC. There hasn't been a ruling on NFC yet, has there?
No. That's supposed to come next week. But, when you think of the bigs, not to mention this JC recruit, another big, two other talented faces, is it safe to assume they'll probably be the conference favorite? And, is it going to be one of those Final Four bust years?
The NCAA tournament is such a crapshoot that I wouldn't say if they don't make the Final Four, it's a major disappointment, because I still think anything can go wrong. But I would definitely say that there are a lot to be in the Sweet 16, and we'll see if they're in a position to win those two games, if they're healthy enough at that time. But, you lose Elgin Cook, who is really the heart and soul of the team. But I think the maturity and improvement of Brooks and Dorsey is going to make up for that, and Boucher. And if Jordan Bell could add a little bit of offense, and if Bigby Williams is legit, and then you factor in the 3 4-star recruits, which if two of those guys can contribute, now you're looking at a much deeper team than last year. And if Dylan comes back, Ennis, then not Benson is your backup point guard, and you got Pritchard as well. I mean, now you're looking at 9-10 deep. You're able to play even maybe at a faster pace, play even better defense, throw many more different combinations at teams. Dana Altman can be a little bit more creative. And they can just do – they're all so versatile, too. They're so long and defensive-minded. It's just – it really is just a team that on paper you look at and go, wow, this could be pretty special.
So if OKC ends it tonight, do you do like what the 72 Dolphins do, kick and zonk in those guys and pop open the champagne?
I have a bottle of water right here. I'll pop open later. Yeah, so I don't want the Warriors to win no matter what, the finals. If the Thunder are in it, then I want the Thunder to beat the Cavs. Because next, my hatred of the Warriors right now is completely manufactured.
Right.
The whole 73 wins. But I do not like the Cavs, because Bulls fans do not like the Cavs or Pistons. So if the Thunder's in the finals, I want the Thunder to beat the Cavs. If the Warriors somehow make it, then I want the Cavs to beat the Warriors.
All right, I see where you're going there.
I'm manufacturing my motivation. I'm like an actor. Where's my motivation?
Right, yeah, you're a method actor when it comes to media. Good stuff, man. Hey, always a pleasure, AF. Have a great weekend. We'll catch up next week.
All right, man, take care.
Take it easy.